Welcome to the Closer's Corner Podcast, where we here at OutFast discuss all things real estate with a focus on tactics, strategies, sales, and what it takes to be a deal maker. All right, welcome to the latest episode of the Closer's Corner Podcast. My name is Greg Simpson. I am your host as usual. And again, Suzanne is out closing that deal this morning, so she is not available on the podcast. So don't mind riding solo today. So again, a reminder for you guys watching and listening to this podcast that this podcast is to help you, the general public and agents, understand what it actually takes to get deals to the closing table, what it takes to be a hashtag deal maker. Because it isn't all sunshine and rainbows out there. It is not an easy task being a real estate agent, especially in this crazy ass market that we are in right now. It is important to understand why agents are the most valuable person in the entire transaction of selling your asset or buying your most important asset of your life, and that is your homes. So we're going to talk today with my top producer for the month of August. David Spinelli's in the house today. So David, welcome to the Closer's Corner Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for representing us so well. So David, you closed $1.19 million in the month of August. Top producer. Congratulations to you, sir. And that was actually your first month of closings here. So it's pretty crazy how that kind of all of a sudden, wham!
It was just 1.2, it was just like a whirlwind.
It's pretty crazy.
It's just all happening at the same time.
Yeah.
It's blowing up.
So, David, I know we've kind of connected. We've been connected for a while before you joined. Tell us the story of how you got into real estate as an agent.
So, yeah, I guess that's kind of a long story. It was back pretty far, but I'll make it quick.
That's fine.
In New York, I got my real estate agent license at age 18, and I did that for a few years. I moved down to Florida. Went to school here, got into financial planning.
Okay.
And I just found that working for someone, driving 40,000 miles a year on my car, it was just a 9-to-5 rat race. It was just killing me.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm going to get into real estate so I can make my own schedule and I can have time off.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But now my schedule is even crazier. And I find that it's harder to take time off.
Yep.
But the mental side of it is I can if I want to.
It's true.
But yeah, you can. And
you come back to the fire, the shitstorm after you go on vacation.
And you go on vacation. Oh, yeah. And then I'll hit the fan. And yeah. And hopefully you have a good transaction coordinator that's helping you out.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been with us for how long now, I want to say?
It's been, I believe this is now the fifth month.
Okay. So let's talk about, you join a new brokerage. We've talked about why internally, but tell us a little bit why you decided to move over. Because I know you had gone to, you were part of a big box, and I don't like the names. And then you moved to another smaller company. It was still pretty decent, a very decent sized company. And then, but what was the reason why you wanted to join us over here at OutFast?
Well, you had hit me up for a year straight.
Yep.
I think that's what it was.
It was.
I think the difference is I was on teams at those other big brokerages, and it just didn't work out. We were just another number, and I just didn't feel like I could really represent myself how I wanted to represent myself.
Okay.
And you could still work hard, but then there's a lot of aspects of what you're giving up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of how OutFast runs its business. And each person is an individual, and it's really a lot of self-help, mental awareness, how to overcome a lot of different obstacles personally. Mm-hmm. That's going to make you a better person, a better agent, and more successful.
Yeah, I mean, that is obviously, it's something we actually haven't talked about on the podcast here, is like the personal development aspect of what we provide here, because you and a lot of my agents will probably tell the public here watching or listening that I will push you guys mm-hmm. to get outside of your comfort zone, because that's where the magic happens. And I've been preaching that to you guys for a long time. And yes, I am a follow-up machine, and that's what's made me successful as an investor and now running a brokerage is, I follow up with y'all for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. That shows a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what brought me here mainly.
You know, the funny thing, David, is that what I didn't know until actually I started talking to you and talking to you about joining us at some point, because as having access to everyone's statistics, I was like, dude, do I want to hire this guy? He has no statistics. He's not selling any real estate. I honestly didn't know that a lot of teams, mm-hmm. all of the traction and all of the transactions roll up to the team leader. So some of these top producers out there really aren't the top producers.
Right.
It's their team members. Because like your stats literally showed a goose egg for you for a year while you were at that other company. So that was super bizarre. So like, I think that's such bullshit. Like, that's messed up that you get no credit for that stuff. You won't get credit on Zillow or on MLS or anything. So, like, you look like you're a schmuck. You know, that's not fair.
And for someone who likes numbers game, I like to be, like, number one or the top one. I can only be number one in that team.
Right.
Because, like you said, the team leader has all the production under their name.
That's pretty crazy. Like, so, like, that really hurts you. I feel like that would hurt you in the marketplace, like, talking to a buyer or a seller saying, like, oh, I did X amount of deals, and they're going to go, well, show me your statistics, and you literally have nothing to show for it.
Right.
That's bizarre. So we do not do that here whatsoever. Even if you are on a team, you get credit for your closings. Like, that just was super mind-blowing to me. Yeah. So you closed, again, $1.19 million last month, and you've been here for 4 or 5 months now. Talk about how you found the seller for the deal. Do you want to do that one first? Do you want to do the second one first?
I mean, let's maybe the buyer could be a little bit of a better story to start with.
Okay, let's start with that, because I don't know the seller one is the crazy story that I want to get to. You guys,
well, the
do not leave this podcast if you're listening or watching right now. Wait, you've got to wait to the end of David to tell you the story of this insane seller.
Yeah, I mean, that actually they're one and the same. So let's talk about.
Oh, okay.
We can talk about the sales side of it if you want to do that.
Let's do that.
So where do you want to start? Jeez. How did I find him? It was a phone call that I had through a friend that said, that kind of introduced me to him. So we just started talking, and I found out this goes back to a roofing job that was done on a house of mine that had a listing. And so this person came out and was an inspector on a roof, and he got on a roof and got my listing agent, my seller, a brand new roof. So I asked him, how did you do it? He said, well, you know, this, I went and got licensed, got up on the roof, and in 10 minutes made $2,000 because it went through insurance. So blah, blah, blah. And I said, how do I do that? So I went out, got that license. And then I continued my talk with him. And he said, well, my other agent is really not helping me at all. Can you help me? I want to sell my home.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, absolutely. Where is it? It's out Odessa, which is 45 minutes to an hour from where I live. But I took it because it's a listing.
Yeah.
And you got to do that. So that's how it started. That's how it came to be.
Okay. So how long was that process from that phone call to actually the listing itself?
The listing itself? It was about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it was pretty quick.
That's good.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
So that, again, when you have personal connections, it makes it a lot easier, right? It's not a lead follow-up system, but you know, sometimes, you know, the referrals can take a long time. So that's awesome that it only took you 3 weeks to actually kind of get that on the market and ready to roll. So that's good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what was the price point of that deal?
That was $595.
Okay, and it was in Odessa. Yep. Pretty big house, I'm assuming. Then
it's a good house. It was just under 4,000 square feet.
Oh wow, a really big house.
And he did a lot of upgrades to it. Put a full, you know, solar on it.
Okay,
it was one of the higher ends in the Riverside community up there. Okay. So yeah, when I took a look at the house, it was a really, really nice house. So we got it on the market pretty quick.
Okay.
Didn't have to do much to it.
Mm-hmm. So, when you put on the market, was it one of those feeding frenzies where you had a bunch of offers, or what, how to talk about the process once it got listed?
So it wasn't as crazy as you would think. In the price point of 200, 250 is a huge price point that I've seen. This is probably the price point that eliminated 70% of the offers.
Yeah,
right.
I can imagine.
We did get quite a few offers. We got a handful.
Okay, well, that's all you need. It's one, right?
I mean, that's great.
Okay, so what were they? Were the offers kind of like what, you know, Salem and I were just talking about on her podcast? Like, you know, sometimes you're getting, you know, or competing against a ton of offers. Were there any crazy, like, weird things in the offers, like no inspection periods or anything like that, or escalation clauses?
Yeah, I didn't get any escalation clauses.
Okay.
I did get appraisal waivers.
Okay.
You know, a few did. We had two that were very close, very close. One was 590, one was 595 asking. Okay. Then, you know, both were waiving appraisal.
Okay. So let's talk about that aspect really quick then. For you guys that don't know this process, if you're getting multiple offers from your listing, and if you're the seller and your agent is getting multiple offers, this part is actually where it comes in handy having a real estate agent that knows what they're doing. So let's talk a little about how you are able to present those offers and then give your, you know, you can't obviously steer a seller towards an offer. You're trying to present the best offer, but it is a lot of times like how you present those offers to explain to your seller what really is the best offer. Because obviously we're doing what's best for our customers and our clients. But like, talk a little bit about like how you're able to differentiate and present those offers.
So yeah, I guess that is a big deal. I mean, if you're presenting it in a way that you really do want to be pretty neutral, obviously, in the whole aspect of it. You don't want to lean towards one way or another. Just you don't want to get yourself in trouble that way. But in that presentation of these offers, the 595 was with a lender, and the 590 was cash.
Ooh, okay.
So even though it was lower, it was a little tougher, it was about the same closing time. So
oh, really?
My plan was to call the lender, see, you know, if it's legit, how steady it is, how
great
if
idea.
if it's definitely going to go through or not. You don't know, obviously, 100%, but it's always good to find that out. So I did present that to the seller as well. So he basically told me to go back to both of them and let them know there's multiple offers. And is there any way they'd like to change their offer?
Okay.
Would they like to make an improvement? Mm-hmm. So we gave them 24 hours to do that.
Okay. What was the result of that?
And the result of that was it came back at $5,000 higher, and the other one said, no, we're not going to change.
Okay.
So
who came up? The cash offer?
So the cash offer did.
Okay. So now they're basically equal. One's financing, one's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's what we went with. So.
Okay. Of course, I would obviously never tell you to turn down a cash offer if it's the same thing. Yeah. So.
So it went well.
Okay. So that one was smooth, easy peasy for that.
Okay. Well, the closing.
Now let's talk about this. It was my favorite part. So.
Yeah. It was very interesting. The seller was gung-ho on selling and he went back and forth with us. It was like dealing with, just having like, I can't explain it. Holding someone's hand, you know, like you have a child holding someone's hand.
Sure.
So we went back and forth, and then he wanted to back out. He said, I shouldn't have sold. Maybe we didn't get enough. And then I said, well, if we look at the market, we got higher than this Riverside community.
Yeah.
We're at 10,000 higher.
Okay.
So we did actually pretty decent. And then let's see what else happened. So we got into where, in the seller's disclosure, he disclosed pretty much everything, but the buyer said, we have a little paint issue here, this issue, very small issues. And he said, I'm not touching a thing. I'm not doing anything with this. Matter of fact, I want to, you know, at this point, I may even back out. And this was after the inspection period. He was still saying this.
Okay.
So, and I said, well, you know, at this point, we can't. You know, we were pretty much in it, and you had a good deal. Then he said, yeah, it's a great deal. I really need to close fast on this. And if we don't close by this date and time, then I'm going to, you know, look to back out and I'll get my attorney on it. I said, well, we have a closing date. You want to push it up to a week earlier. I could see if we could do that, but I don't think we could push it forward. So it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So we kept our closing.
Did he actually have to call his attorney, or did he just kind of, was that as a bluff?
No, it was a bluff.
Okay.
I think
like an attorney's going to go, you've got a contract, so no. All right, good.
So, and I think me negotiating with the other agent, they had to go into the home with his buyers to do a final inspection.
Sure.
So that was the second time. Then there was an issue that needed to be fixed with the lawn. So the lawn had, according to the HOA, we had a big issue.
Okay.
That the lawn that he replaced was incorrect grass.
Oh, geez, really?
So it was grass, but in the HOA documents, we had to read through 30 pages of documents in the HOA that we didn't get a clear title to this, because it had to be a certain type of grass.
Was it like, he probably like put Bahia grass or something, and it was supposed to be St. Augustine?
It was supposed to be St. Augustine, according to the HOA, and that wasn't it. So... But in the documents, it didn't state St. Augustine.
Okay.
They only told us it had to be St. Augustine. So we had to go back and forth now with the HOA.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he said, I'm not touching any grass. I spent $5,000 put this grass down.
Sure.
Well, he never checked with the HOA.
Yeah.
And he said he never received a letter stating it had to be St. Augustine, which is true.
Yeah.
But the HOA said, I'm sorry, we're not going to give you the estoppel, came back, and we didn't have the go-ahead to close.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had to go back and forth with the HOA for a long time. The HOA decided at one point to not discuss it with us any longer.
No shit.
And they had no proof. So now we could get an attorney at this point, or we can go back and forth with them. So myself and the other agent decided, well, let's see what we can do as far as making, you know, give them something so that they could both be happy.
Right.
So, you know, there was a little bit of, I hate to do that, but a small commission change for us both to be able to say, let's go ahead and close. So the buyer was okay with having the money to remove the entire lawn, put down St. Augustine.
Okay.
So,
man,
that helped get the
close. That's crazy. So, again, that's a perfect example of why David is a deal maker. It's why we have labeled you guys and called you our tribe as the deal makers, because it is literally my mantra. And I was telling, you know, other agents that are part of the team, is like, you have to do what you got to do to facilitate the transaction, get the deal done. And that is a freaking amazing story that I have not heard yet. I literally hadn't heard that aspect of this deal. And it is mind blowing.
Well, I don't think it would have happened had we not read through the entire HOA documents. I don't think the buyer would have. The buyer was just about going to walk.
Sure.
And because of a technicality, the seller, we could have easily said, okay, well, I'm out of here, we're out of here, and the deal is done.
Yeah, and you lose your commissions. Yeah. The seller's not happy that they have to start all over again. Buyer's also having to start all over again. You guys are way in the process at this point. How was it a 30-day close?
It was.
At what point did that come up? Close.
It came up about 10 days into 10 days into it. So, but that stretched out to 3 days before closing.
Oh my gosh.
The other aspect was the HOA said there was a boat in his yard that needs to be moved. And I said, he has a boat, but it's not in his yard. I don't understand. Well, she sent me pictures of the HOA president. And I said, that's not his house. She took pictures of a different house.
Oh my God.
Sending it to us saying, this is his house. We're not going to give you a clear title.
Oh my goodness.
There's not supposed to be a boat in this HOA development. So we had to go through that. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, so that finally we get to the closing table. Well, it wasn't a closing table. It was a mobile notary.
Okay.
He didn't show up for the mobile notary.
Yep. So I do know this part.
Yeah. So we're wondering where the heck he is. No show. The buyer says, well, I'm not signing if we can't find the mobile notary. Mm-hmm. Finally, he shows up saying he had to take his father somewhere, and this was the next day. So we had to get the mobile notary back out there. So, but that day, and I think you know this story, he said he has equity in his home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say how much, but it was a good amount. It was a good amount.
Yeah.
And he basically said, well, I want cash at the closing table. At
literal physical cash.
I want physical cash, and I still have the text to prove it. And I want it in hundreds. I said, there's not much that I could have, you know, said at that point other than I just don't understand. We just don't work that way. Even if a bank takes its money out of a bank, you have an armed vehicle, you have two guards. Is this what he wants for us to, you know, deliver a suitcase full of money?
Like mobster style.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do with it. You know,
flee in the country, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So I had to explain to him how the process works. You know, and I can't imagine had he only negotiated with a buyer in this case.
Oh my gosh.
How much of a nightmare that would have been. None of that would have closed. And they would have been out. Buyer and seller would have been out, maybe back on the market again, going through another process.
Yeah. Again, reason number 9,572 why you don't ever for sale by owner or even sometimes buy from a for sale by owner because they are so uneducated. On the process of what it takes, again, for what you guys do to facilitate those transactions. I literally have an ebook that I wrote that's literally 195 things a realtor does to facilitate a transaction that the general public has no clue. And that's part of the reason, instead of just sending this ebook out to the masses, we're doing this podcast so they can hear their true stories that go into this stuff. So it gets better, that's though, crazy. Doesn't it?
As far as... Which aspect?
The fact that he ended up wanting, didn't he want like 12 different checks or something in a certain amounts or something?
Yeah, so.
Because he conceded on the cash, right?
Yeah, right. He said, okay, maybe not cash. So the title company just couldn't believe it. So the title company, basically he went to, we finally got the wire transfer to his bank. That was took a lot of convincing.
Okay.
He walked into the bank and he said he would like, there was a succession of checks. That he wanted to get from the title company. So the title company had to, there's 8 checks in the exact amounts that he wanted that was going to be sent to him.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. So he did get the checks.
Yeah, he got the checks.
In
I think he sent me a
amounts.
Picture of all the different checks.
All the different checks. The exact same amount and all different checks. So what's he going to do with 8 different checks? He walked into the bank to try to cash every single one of them. The bank said, well, we can't really do that.
No,
we can't cash that much here. He called the police on the bank. I don't know if I...
No, I didn't know this part. Oh, my God.
So he called the police, was so upset that he didn't get his money right then and there that he called the police. And so it was a big issue. They had to go through back and forth. He got a portion of it. He went to another bank, waited another couple of days, then finally he got a portion of it. So, and this just goes to show you that you get some of these sellers or buyers out there that have to be reasoned with, you have to be dealt with properly.
I've heard a lot of stories, David.
Yep.
I've been done a lot of deals. I think this might be the craziest story I've ever heard.
Yeah,
I've interviewed a lot of really big wig investors in my day. This is nuts.
It was fun. It was a lot.
You earned that money on this one.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't feel like goodness. It was just enough.
Yeah, you know, right.
It's in that case.
And we're talking a $600,000 commission, and it still didn't feel like enough.
It still didn't feel like enough.
Yeah, it's insane.
But the every deal that I'm noticing is something new, is something different, you know? And from lately, what I've been realizing is if you read that contract and you know your contract, you can then deal with it a lot better.
For sure.
So understanding, and we have a new contract coming out. But every deal is something new. It's something different. There's something involved that needs to be cleared up, negotiated, or, you know, just handled.
Yeah.
And that's the big aspect.
It is. And again, if you don't have the right professionals, again, it comes down to not just you guys. Let's just be honest. Like, yes, you guys are the biggest cog in the wheel, in my opinion. But you've also got to have a good power team that you work with. You've got to have a good, on a buy side, you got to have a great lender, right? You've got to have a great relationship with an inspection company. Mm-hmm. And if you're a listing agent, you have to have a great relationship with that title company, right? And so, like, it's not just about hiring you to sell the house or you to help buy a house. When you go to – you hire that agent, you're hiring their team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that a person looking to buy or sell a house does understand that you are just one aspect of the deal. And if you don't have that power team in place that knows how to handle situations like that, or at least navigate them and ask the right people, selling for sale by owner is a disaster. Or even selling to an iBuyer or a Zillow or – whoever out there without having someone represent you is a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. Because they might not understand the process.
Right. I mean, they're going to get taken advantage of if they don't, too.
Right.
Because they're going to be told some line of bullshit that might just literally cost them tens of thousands of dollars.
100%.
In money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's the aspect of having a great agent or just an agent in general, understanding the process, how it goes through, so that they can watch out for your seller or your buyer.
Yeah. And those red flags that a normal person wouldn't even know as a red flag because they haven't been through the process multiple times. So, man, that is literally one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. So, David, thank you for coming on today and sharing that because
absolutely.
It's exactly what I mean, why I started this podcast, that this is so important for the public to understand. And, like, you know, you're not the biggest guy on social media, so you haven't told this story on social media. So that's why I want to bring you guys in to help me bring that out of you so that you can use this to tell your stories to the public and why you guys earn what you earn.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I had a great time telling the story.
Thanks for coming out. It was a great time.
Well, hopefully, and next month, I'll go through another few more of these trials and tribulations and be on here again.
Yeah, so guys, if you enjoyed this story today, you loved what we had to bring and you got good value from this and got good education from it, please be sure to give us a rating and review us. Give us a 5-star on there. And if you're on YouTube and watching this, make sure you comment, give it a like as well, and subscribe to our channel. And if you have any questions, you can ask them in the comments below, and we'd be happy to answer them as we go. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Closer's Corner Podcast. We're out. Back. Hands up!